The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. It is great to have all of you here. The final 2 hours, the first two have been fantastic. Jay Billis joining us shortly. We'll get his look ahead to this weekend of conference tournaments in next week's NCAA basketball tournament. The phone number is 855-242-7285. And let's get back to the calls. And Drew is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Drew.
Hey, Paul, long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to ask you about how you think the Hogs are going to do in the SEC tournament and in the postseason tournament.
Yeah, I think the Hogs would be one of maybe my top-line picks to win this weekend because they are playing so well. I like a hot team in the SEC tournament. And, I mean, certainly they're in. They're at worst a 3 seed, maybe a 2 seed. Who knows? Maybe if they win it all, they could hope for some chaos. But I really I'll wait to see what they look like next week. But I really think they look like – I know Alabama's in Vegas the favorite, but I think the Hogs are probably easily the hottest team in the SEC right now.
All right. Good deal. And do you think what pick do you think Moses will be in this draft coming up? Having him as a lottery pick, I heard now.
Yeah, it's possible. I think his tournament is going to be critical to that. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's get back to the calls. And Max is up next in Missouri. Hello, Max.
Hey, Paul. Big fan. First time caller.
Thank you.
I just have some questions about the pros and cons of Mizzou football, and where do you think they're going to be over the next few years? In this year is specifically upcoming, 2021.
I think they're going to be in really good shape. I thought last year was a startling success, getting to 5 wins. I think a couple of the hires have been fantastic, especially the new defensive coordinator. I think that was one of the best offseason hires of the year. And I am about as bullish on Missouri football as I've been in a long time.
Yes, I was thinking that same thing. Do you think the addition of Coach Drank to the coaching staff as our head coach is a good addition? Do you think he's going to be here for a while? Maybe the next Saban of the SEC?
Well, I mean, Max, let's be realistic here. Nick Saban is possibly the greatest coach of all time. The fact you asked
Drank could get there though.
I know. Hey,
but what do you think about him?
I think he's fan. I mean, I'm a huge Drink fan. I am. I have gotten to interact with him a number of times. I find him to be one of the most engaging football coaches that we currently deal with. I see how he has been successful in the past, and I see how he's able to not only manage his team, but attract recruits. So count me in.
Thank you. That is all I wanted to hear about with Drank. And then one last question. What do you see Mizzou basketball doing? Do you see them going far in the SEC tournament at least this year? Do you think they can step into the same form they were in early season?
I'm going to give you a nuanced answer because I have always been, dating back to his days at Tennessee, a big Konzo Martin fan. I'm
Konzo Martin.
I am not convinced this team is going to make a long run in the NCAA tournament. What about you?
I feel that if Mizzou, I think if Pinson can be on form of shooting and Tillman can set a foul trouble, I feel Mizzou could make a little run. I feel Konzo just needs to, maybe inspire somewhere. I feel like we get it down. If we go down early,
it's going to entirely depend on the matchups. And I'm not, trying to quantify answers here, but I think they could have a good run in Nashville, but I think a deep run in the NCAA tournament is they're going to need some luck. And by the way, you can get some luck. They're going to be somewhere seven line, and you'll face a good team, not in the first weekend, but certainly in the second weekend, you'll run into a a 3-4 seed, and you know, if you get, you could catch a break. Maybe that team you're playing can gets knocked out in the first round or the second round. Having said all that, Missouri's capable of beating most teams in the NCAA tournament, but are they capable of winning two or three in a row? That's the question. Thank you for the call. Great to have you on. And Tyler is up next in Florida. Hello, Tyler. Go right ahead.
I just wanted to ask you, as far as Florida offense this year, do you feel like there's going to be a drop, if any?
Yes.
Versus the run game, versus the throwing game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how there's not going to be a drop when you consider what's going to go on day one of the NFL draft.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I get that part. Emery and Anthony's more of Dan Mullen's kind of style quarterback. So, I mean, I know there's going to be some growing pains at first.
I think this year could be good, not great. I do think by next year, though, the Gators are capable of being back in contention. But I do not see Florida winning the SEC East this year.
Right. Okay. Well, I just wanted
hate to be the bearer of bad news, but that is just my gut feeling. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
It's going well. Thank you.
I heard you say that last year about the Gators. Not
yeah,
the
I, by the way, I was on the bubble last year, but I'm saying it again.
I hear you. But anyways, last time I called you, I was headed back from Birmingham back to Coleman, and I had a trailer full of metal on it. Went flying off, and I had you on hold, and
oh my goodness,
come back to the car, and you wasn't there. It just was busy sign. So, but second time caller, I guess. Also, what's up with Nick Saban's defensive coordinators? I mean, I just heard about the Kirby thing, and then his other one at Tennessee, and I mean all the defensive coordinators that are getting accused of this money situation.
Yeah, Mike, I want people just to realize, so far nobody's accused anyone of anything. The only thing I know in this case is that there is an investigation going on from a state agency in Georgia because it's a high school issue, but I don't think this will ever be investigated because I'm not really sure what there is to investigate.
Yeah, I heard you saying that earlier too, that there's not 100% proof either. So,
and you know, yeah. I mean, do I think it's likely? It's more likely than not that is Rush Probst on the tape. Yeah, of course I do. I mean, I'm not going to be a. The most important thing you have to have in a conversation like this is at least somebody thinking you have a modicum of credibility, but I don't want to come off like some cheese ball defense lawyer, but even if it turned out that it is him, you know, there's, you know, what does that mean? Is there a specific allegation here? Is there something that could endanger the university? I don't think so, and I have such a low opinion of the desire to clean up college athletics that I just don't think it's going to amount to anything. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Heading to a break. Yep. Jay Billis will join us in a few minutes as we get ready for the conference basketball tournament. In fact, the ACC tournament is already underway. Jay will join us right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have you here. It's been a busy show. We started with Rick Barnes a couple of hours ago, and Mitch Barnhart also joined us, the chairman of the men's basketball committee. I hear a basketball game in the background, so that means Jay Billis is our next guest. Jay, good afternoon, and how are you?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I'm doing great, Paul. How are you?
We're doing pretty well. The ACC is underway, as if you didn't know that. How weird is it seeing Duke on a late Tuesday afternoon?
Yeah, it's unusual. This is the lowest seed they've ever had in the ACC tournament. So to see them play on a Tuesday afternoon is highly unusual. But, you know, I'm so old. I used to play in this tournament when I played. It was everybody played on Friday, and it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday with 8 teams. So everything's new now.
Well, speaking of that, we've had a couple of conversations throughout the year, and we made it not quite to the finish line, but it looks like we are going to get there. Just your assessment of this season under COVID.
You know, overall, it's been good. It's been bumpy at times, but I think everybody expected that. But I think for both football and basketball to be able to get to the finish line, I may be early calling the basketball finish line, but we're going to get there. It's a good thing that we've gotten it in. I don't think there's been a lot of introspection as to what we've been doing, but that's okay. I mean, it's a big business, and everybody expected that we were going to play no matter what we have.
Jay, I read your piece today on ESPN.com. You ranked the teams 1 through 64 or 68. I can't remember what it was. As you do that, not to put you in the mode of the chairman that we had on about an hour ago, but what are you looking for as you start seeding your own tournament?
You know, Paul, basically I do it as if I were a committee member. I think that's what the committee member should do. They should keep a running tally of who they think the best teams are throughout the course of the year. And obviously it gets adjusted, but you know, I don't think it's that hard of an exercise to be able to step in and at the end of the year and say, okay, here are the teams in order as to how they've done and how good you think they are. And, I'm a believer that we should, the committee should give us the at-large decision last Sunday, that we should have known based on the regular season, here are the at-large choices. And then championship week is just about automatic bids. I think that would be the right way to do it. It would put more emphasis on the regular season, which everybody says they want. And then it would be fair to the mid-major program that when they get to their conference tournament, that it's all they can have happen is the floor drops out from under them. While teams like Duke, they get more chances to pad their resume that mid-major and low-major teams don't get. So I think that would be a much fairer way to do it. I'm not expecting the committee to listen to me and make the change, but I would love to see that.
In terms of the mid-majors, and we always see it, a team has had an amazing year and they get upset, which happens, versus, the blue chips trying, winning a game or two, and we get that perception out there if they get to Friday, if they get to Saturday. How do you compare and contrast that? Because we're talking about we're really talking about different things here, aren't we?
We are, and it's going to be really difficult this year because you don't have mid-majors didn't get as many opportunities in the non-conference because of COVID. A lot of games got canceled or postponed or called off, and so you didn't have the normal sort of mid-major versus major games in November and December. So there's less data as to how teams did against the big shots. And even a mid-major, you know, takes Belmont or something, even if they played a major conference team and lost but played them tough, you got some data on that. And we don't have that this year. So that's where the kind of the eye test thing comes in, where you say, you have to look at a mid-major team and say, no, this team can play, and even though they haven't won as many high-value games, we have to honor the fact that this team is very good and slot them according to how good they are. But Paul, that requires some basketball judgment. And it's not a question of the committee doesn't have it. I would just argue that the committee doesn't have enough of it. And I think the committee should have more of that.
Jay, in your 68, you have some interesting schools. We had Kermit Davis on here yesterday. He was still making his appeal to get Ole Miss into the tournament. You have Ole Miss in the tournament. We still have Jay?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, well, I was curious about your inclusion of Ole Miss in the tournament because a lot of people don't have them in there right now.
Well, what I would tell you is I don't have them in the tournament. You know, I can't remember exactly where they're ranked. They were in the 40s or 50s, but that wouldn't make the tournament. And that's sort of my point about the seed list. So they're in the top 68 right now. But once you factor in the automatic qualifier, that'll knock out like 32 teams that are on that list. So, and that's sort of my point about the automatic qualifiers. You know, Paul, the NCAA tournament does not have the 68 best teams. It probably has the 45 best teams plus the automatics. And it's unbelievably fair. Like, every team has an opportunity to get in the tournament by winning their conference automatic bid against their peers. And then we take the next best teams after that. So you're going to see a number of teams on my 68 that aren't going to make the field because of those automatics. One of the interesting things this year is, unless Duke pulls off something crazy in the ACC tournament, you're going to have a tournament without Kentucky and Duke and without an Ivy League member because the Ivy League opted out. So what that means is you're going to have essentially three extra spots that we normally wouldn't have. So my question is, what's the committee going to do with those three spots? Is the committee going to say, okay, we'll take a middling major program like Syracuse? Or are they going to say, no, we're going to give that spot to Drake or a team like Drake that has done really well in their season, but they lost Belmont, you know, Drake and Belmont, who lost in their conference tournaments, but they've had extraordinarily good seasons. Would the tournament rather have a Syracuse that's lost, 10 games, or would you rather have Drake or Belmont? And my sense is they're gonna select the high major teams that have won more high value games instead of going with the lower major teams that have won more games and done better against their schedule. They just weren't able to play the same kind of quality schedule that Syracuse is able to play.
Understand. Jay, I'll throw a couple of schools at you we've discussed in the past, but it's always interesting, especially this late, to get your final impressions. Let's start with Alabama and Arkansas. Your view.
Alabama could get a number one seed. If they win their tournament and the Big Ten, you have, maybe Michigan and or Illinois and Iowa lose really early in their conference tournament, which could happen. You can see a team like Alabama slide in there, but I think Alabama's going to be a number two seed. I think they're capable of the Final Four because they can score. They've got a star player in Herb Jones that can, he's the player of the year in the SEC. He's the defensive player of the year. He can grab a rebound, bring it up, and operate essentially as a point forward. And they defend. I think Alabama is the best attribute of their team this year, isn't their three-point shooting or the pace they play. It's they guard people at a much better rate this year than they did last year. They were not good defensively. This year, they're very good defensively. Arkansas is a really fun team to watch, and they've kept getting better. And Moses Moody's he's a star, a young player, but he can really ball, and he gets to the free throw line. That's the thing that is sustainable about his game. He doesn't have to shoot it well to score 25. Because he can get to the free throw line over and over again because of the way he can drive it, and he's a body seeking driver, and so he's gonna rack up a lot of fouls against him.
So both those teams, I think, can do really well. I still favor, you know, the top teams out of the Big Ten, top teams out of the Big 12, and then Gonzaga. You know, Gonzaga's the best team. They can be beaten, but it's going to take an extraordinary effort because of the way they score.
Two more I want to throw at you, and then we'll let you get back to work. And they're two of the most perplexing teams to try to understand, and that's Tennessee and Missouri.
Tennessee is athletic. They defend very well and very consistently. They don't take nights off on the defensive end. But the problem, if you want to call it a problem, is they're inconsistent on offense. There are some games where they shoot it really well and they put up points easily. And then there are other games where they really labor to score. And so that sort of offensive inconsistency is the kind of thing that gets you beat in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, in the games I've watched this year of Tennessee ball, it's been hard for them to string together multiple games against quality competition where they score efficiently game to game. Now, they defend efficiently, but I'm not a believer that you know, defense only wins championships or reaches Final Fours. You got to score. And especially if you're playing, if you wind up playing a team that Tennessee's going to have to play in the Sweet 16, you know, or if they are fortunate to get the Elite Eight, you're going to have to play somebody like Gonzaga or Baylor or Michigan or Illinois or Ohio State, somebody like that, that put up a ton of points. And you're not going to shut those teams out. You're not going to move the runner over, you know, with a bunt and expect to beat Gonzaga. You're going to have to score points. So I think they're a little bit limited that way. And I do like Missouri because of their inside-out balance and because they're tough-minded. But it's another team that you wonder, you know, if they get into the second weekend, which they're capable of, will they be able to score efficiently to be able to beat the teams they're going to play? Because I think that's what sets the top teams apart is their ability to score against really good defense. And I just don't think – it's almost like football in that regard. I'm hardly a football expert, but, you know, you're not gonna pitch shutouts in the NCAA tournament. You're gonna have to score points. And so I favor the teams that are good defensively and very good offensively.
Outstanding. Jay, thanks for making time. It is always great to have you here.
Always my pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. So the one and only Jay Billis joining us courtside of the ACC tournament going on right now. We will take a break. More of your phone calls, and we will begin doing that in a moment at 855-242-7285. We've already talked to Coach Rick Barnes. We had Bruce on earlier, and Mitch Barnhart, the athletic director at UK, who's chairman of the Men's Basketball Committee. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back here late on a Tuesday afternoon, and Jay is up next. Hey, Jay, good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how you doing?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Good. I'm a first-time caller and definitely a Bama fan, but living over here in my cricket lab. But I was wondering, last year when Coach Saban apparently caught the COVID, he had to coach from his recliner and by the lake. But Trevor Lawrence got the COVID. He traveled with the team and hugging his teammate. How is that?
Yeah, I think the answer is this. Trevor missed one game. I believe it was with Boston College. By the time the team went to Notre Dame, I think he had cycled out of the quarantine and had been given a green light.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay. I was just wondering because it kind of confused me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't remember whether it was, I think it was 7 days or 10 days, but yeah, I was surprised when he was on the sideline. I don't know about you, but I would have probably waited a day or two before I took a chance on that, but he was tested every day. So I'm sure it was legit.
Okay.
And Saban came down with it on a Wednesday, and the game was Saturday, so it was a different set of circumstances.
Okay. All right. I sure appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Not that I'm the Dr. Anthony Fauci of the SEC. That's just my best recollection. Thank you for the call. Let's check out another Jay. This one is in Tennessee. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We are well, thank you.
A little bit earlier today, I was reading on a website, the Anniston Star newspaper had a story about Anthony Roberts, a former college basketball star who scored 65 points 44 years ago tonight in an NIT game against Oregon. It's the all-time record for the most points in a postseason game. The reason I'm calling to ask you about it, Anthony Roberts was from Chattanooga. If he had signed with the University of Tennessee, he would have been on the floor with Ernie and Bernie.
Oh, my goodness.
I think you were up at Tennessee around the time of
yes.
Ernie and Bernie. Do you remember much about the recruiting of Anthony Roberts, who was like a scoring machine out of Riverside High School? Did he nearly go to UT?
What year would he have come out? Do you know that? That might help my recollection a little
bit. He
would
have come out in 1972. He graduated from Oral Roberts in 1977 is the year he scored 65 points in the game.
I was still in high school for a couple more years, so I don't remember. Had I been there, I probably would have had a better recollection. I can give you chapter and verse on Ernie and Bernie's recruiting. I do know those stories pretty well, but I don't. I remember. So he was in Chattanooga, you said?
Yeah, Chattanooga Riverside, and was one of those players that went out to Oral Roberts and did really well.
Yeah.
Chattanooga had a guy named Richie Fuqua who went out.
Oh, I remember him.
Before he did.
Now, I remember.
I can only imagine with Roberts on the court.
Yeah, Oral Roberts. I remember at the time I followed Memphis State a lot, and they played Oral Roberts in it may have been an NIT game. I can't remember. And Oral Roberts had a phenomenal program back then.
Well, Anthony Roberts scored 65 without a 3-point line, but back then. They didn't take
no, I have to tell you, I don't know. You know, one thing about Tennessee at the time, Jay, Ray Mears was not a conventional recruiter. So if there was something about his game, he may have. I don't know that because I do not remember anything about it. But I've always wondered. I asked this question about Pete Maravich. What would the 3-point line have meant in Robert's case or Maravich's case? And I think the easy answer is a significant amount of points.
Well, he certainly would have learned how to shoot the shot, just like Dale Ellis at Tennessee.
Right.
Didn't shoot many long range when he was with the Vols, but when he got in the NBA, turned into one of the best 3-point shooters of all time.
Oh, he did.
Well, thank you so much.
Well,
Paul,
thank you,
I
Jay.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I remember that era pretty well, but. I always joke, it's one of those few times when I can still say I was too young to remember it. Let's check in with Gary, who is up next. Hey, Gary, go right ahead. Somehow we missed Gary. I'll try a name I know well. Paul is up next. Hey, Paul.
Hey.
How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
I don't know why it sounded weird for me to say, hey, Paul, to somebody. But anyway, glad you're on.
Yeah, I'm a first-time caller, and I'd like to know what you think about Auburn's new coach and what kind of record you think we'd have next year.
Well, Paul, I think I like him a lot. I like Coach Harsin a great deal. We've had a couple of meetings with him up here. and he's a straight shooter. I think he's going to bring a completely different approach to Auburn. As far as the record next year, I think it's going to be a struggle to have a what I would call a great year by Auburn standards. I think 7 or 8 wins is realistic. The schedule is always punishing, and it's made even more so this year because of a road game at Penn State. In addition to LSU, Georgia, Alabama, A&M, Penn State is just a particularly difficult game. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Mike is up next in Kentucky. What do you say, Mike? Always helps
when
you
hit. Yeah, I'm just curious to know, Paul, if you're following the hottest story in college football at the moment. And if you aren't, I'll up to date you.
Yeah, well,
I'll update you.
I'm obviously not, so why don't you help me?
Okay. Coach Prime and Jackson State, Paul. Did you watch the game last week?
I am sad to report I have not seen a spring game yet, but I'm sure I will make up for that soon.
I don't know, Paul. It might just be me, but this is a compelling story to me. They went into Grambling, a team steeped in FBS tradition.
Oh, sure.
And upset them, proved the experts wrong in Vegas. And there was a receiver running down the sideline for a touchdown, Paul, and Coach Prime was right there with him stride for stride, coaching him all the way to the end zone. The man is a dynamo, Paul.
Hey, just so I can make sure I don't miss the next couple again, where did you find this game on your TV dial?
I did not.
Oh, okay.
I found it on the internet.
Okay.
But that doesn't, you know, I mean, if you're a college football fan, you need to be following this.
Well, I wish I'd have known because I have covered games at Grambling before. I know my way to little Grambling, Louisiana.
Yeah, that's a good program what it is. That's a very good program. And here's something else I found out about Jackson State, Paul. They have flipped or transferred 4 players out of the SEC to add to their roster. Were you aware of that?
No. Mike, you are stumping the band today.
Well, they got a linebacker out of Missouri transferred. And you know what happens when you put an SEC linebacker in that conference. You get instant Lawrence Taylor, Paul. That kid he's destroying them. They flipped the number one JUCO cornerback away from, are you ready for this, Paul? The Georgia Bulldogs. They flipped a 4-star receiver away from the Florida Gators. Deion Sun's on the roster at South Carolina. He transferred, and his other son, the quarterback that Alabama took a look at, I don't know how good of a look they took at him, but Bama took a look at his son at quarterback. He transferred up from Florida Atlantic. So they're putting the band back together at Jackson State, Paul. This is going to be a pretty interesting story until the real season starts.
Anyway. Well, Mike, I'm all over it. We had Coach Prime on the show back in, I believe it was October. It was a memorable interview. We're up against a break. More to come, more of your phone calls, as we've had already a busy show. Jay Billis joining us a minute ago. We had Coach Barnes from Tennessee and Mitch Barnhart from the University of Kentucky. He's the men's basketball chair for this tournament. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back here on a Tuesday afternoon. I thought I already tried to get it to Wednesday. The SEC basketball tournament tomorrow night. We'll have coverage leading into that. More of your calls right now. And how about John in Kentucky is up next. Hey, John, thank you.
Hey, Paul, Cats by 90s. Yeah, I was watching Mitch Barnhart on your show earlier. I love him. I think he's done great things at the University of Kentucky. But on to what I was going to ask, I was hoping you could talk on or you could speak on how the University of Kentucky basketball program is going to handle having key pieces like Devin Askew, Isaiah Jackson, and Terrence Clark return for another year instead of their usual one-and-done talent. I mean, are we going to see a dominating Kentucky team with experience next year?
I believe we will. And I think this year is an outlier, and you've heard people talk about it. Billis was here a minute ago. There is a commonality in why Kentucky and North Carolina and Duke and Michigan State and UCLA have had odd years. I think they'll be back. I think the criticism of Calipari early on was overdone. I think it had more to do with off the field than off the court than on the court. And I'll be shocked if they don't come back next year.
I was also going to ask chances of Terrence Clark playing in the SEC tournament this week, if you've heard anything about that.
I must say I have not. Tomorrow we will spend most of the show leading into what's happening in Nashville. So we'll see if we can get you a better answer than that. You want to give us a ring? Good time to do it. 855-242-7285. A lot of conversations going in different directions today, but always enjoy having you give us a ring. Let's check in with Vincent, who is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Vincent. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, man?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Great, man. Great to echo your show, man. I haven't been on here in quite a while. Just have two questions for you real quick. First question is, how do you think Shane Beamer and the staff will do at South Carolina this year? And how well do you think the quarterback controversy will pan out?
Yeah, I'm not sure which way the quarterback situation is going to go. But, Vincent, let me talk about Shane Beamer for a second. I think he has a very difficult job. I say that as a sobering response to your question. I think all he can do is bring enthusiasm and attitude and hope that his personality, his name can translate to great recruiting. And that's what South Carolina needs. The schedule is manageable. For those who aren't watching on TV right now, let me read it to you. Eastern Illinois at East Carolina. I think that's a very good way to start the season. And I know East Carolina was a problem a couple of years ago, but that was a couple of years ago. And it gets difficult. At Georgia, Kentucky at home, probably a must-win game. Troy at home, right, at Tennessee, which is the game that I think set Will Muschamp on his farewell tour. Vanderbilt, and then at A&M, Florida, at Missouri, Auburn, and Clemson. I think the schedule is way too difficult next year for a really good year.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I just want your opinion on that, Paul. You know, hey, it's time to get over this hump, man.
Well, Vincent, I will say this. I have come away in the encounters with Beamer to be enthusiastically impressed. And, you know, it's now a matter of getting it done. And, I mean, I think he has one of the most difficult tasks of the new coaches in the SEC, because I don't think that program was left in great shape.
Yeah, I agree, Paul. Well, hey, good talking to you, man. I just want your input on it. And good talking to you,
hey,
as
thank
always,
you,
man.
You call again, Vincent, anytime. Walter is up next in Pennsylvania. Good afternoon, Walter.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well, Walter. Thank you.
Well, woo, pig, silly, go Hogs. It's a good time to be a Razorback.
Man, I don't want to say has there ever been a better time, because I know the school's won national championships in countless sports, but at this moment in time, it's a pretty good time to be a Razorback.
Yes, and the basketball team, the women's basketball team, men's baseball, and the girls' softball, the women's softball. It's a great time.
So, Walter, where in Pennsylvania do you live?
Chambersburg.
Where is that?
South Central.
South of Harrisburg.
South Central Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah, I've been a lot of places in Pennsylvania. I've been to Harrisburg to go to Penn State. Okay. Obviously, I've been to State College, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, but I'm not that familiar with some of the smaller cities. So, are you from Arkansas? I'm curious how you became an Arkansas fan.
I am displaced.
Displaced. Well, you're a long way off.
I'm up north. Still wearing that Hog gear.
Well, Walter, you hang in there. Appreciate the call. Okay, we're heading to the end of the third hour. We've had a busy show. We will spend plenty of time in the final hour taking your phone calls. So if you want to get in, we have just cleared a few lines. 855-242-7285, the number if you want to call. We've already had the head basketball coach at Tennessee on. We had Jay Billis on. We had Mitch Barnhart on from the University of Kentucky. And we have an hour to go. We'll be right back.